This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yes, and that knock led you to the door that opened up to Motormouth Radio. That's right, Long Island's only automotive talk show with your hosts Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
Oh, doing well. Just strap on your boots because you won't believe what you're going to be stepping out and stepping into this this hour here on this Sunday afternoon. Doing well. How are you, Ray?
Not doing too bad myself. Just getting at the end of this, you know, fighting this cold business that's been going on. You know, it's been making the rounds and just kind of lingers. You know, it's one of those just damn lingering things that you just got to keep fighting. That's all. You got to grab it by the neck and shake it and say, go away. Get away. Well, get out of here.
It's giving you that cool jazz voice again.
Yes.
You got the nice baritone going on.
Trying hard.
So automotively this week was a little bit of just basically observation and
observation
theory.
Yeah.
Observation and theory this week. You know, it's funny because you had sent me, texted me the transmission maintenance schedule for my Chrysler that we were talking about last week, how it pulls away like a bus out of the garage.
Correct.
And it mentioned fluid exchange, fluid and filter exchange as well. It mentioned that maintenance, but it also mentioned something that I always found elusive.
Yeah.
When it came down to transmissions, and that was band adjustment. That is something that has been like, what is that? I've never understood the maintenance of transmission band adjustment. That was something that like happened in the 20s and 30s.
No,
you know?
No.
It was way back there. It's like, because I imagine, like, what is a band adjustment? Like, you get a wrench in there under the pan, and like there are these knobs or switches you have to turn. I never understood that.
Well, when you're at the gig, it's called, okay, guys, tune up. Give me a B flat. Give me an F. There's the band adjustment. You know?
Right.
No, but the thing that you missed was in the beginning of that, and that was out of a motor manual. Was the first little paragraph said when or how to check the fluid, and it said to check it in neutral, not
yes.
Which is what really that was
it
the
does.
Thing we had talked about. And as my memory kicked in, it said to do that, which I was very surprised. Yeah, I was right, because you know whenever something I think I remember is right, I'm impressed.
So, I always know you're right. I just get right over the right parts.
No.
But I always know my longtime radio colleague is correct.
To jump to the other thing, just like in the 50s and 60s, it was very popular to bring a car in for a valve adjustment, or I got to get the valves ground. Yeah, I was like pulling off the head and you know, that was in the days of leaded gas when you get a lot of deposits. It was a common thing to do that. And band adjustments well, you know how the inside of an automatic transmission is set up. You have the clutches, and the bands are literally a band, a stainless steel band,
yes.
with a tightening screw. And you can tighten or loosen. It changes the pressure, the pressure on the band that grabs the clutches, and that changes the shift quality. You know,
but for the life of me, I wouldn't even know how to go about doing something like that. I am truly automatic transmissions are, I can honestly say, are my weakest point. I can remove them from a vehicle and put them back in, but taking them apart, to me, that's engineering magic. As
you know,
far
what
as I'm concerned.
That's one of the things I've never really done. I've never rebuilt an automatic. It's one of those specialty groups that I've stayed away from. You know, we got guys like Pat Seppi for that. If we need that to be done. Mm-hmm. I am aware of I am aware of the processes, though, that happens. And I know, you know, back in the day, there was a guy that I worked with when I was in Auto Electric in a rebuilding shop who had a Chrysler, and he used to drag race it. And I found out at the time that the Chrysler guys used to always play with the band adjustment to get a better launch and a better takeoff, where the GM guys, you know, I never really heard of the GM guys doing that. So I think it may be something that was more set up a little differently in a Chrysler, in those 727s, than in the turbo transmissions of the GMs.
No, it could very well be. And yeah, that may be my next project, maybe to do something like that, because I would have a feeling that it may be a band issue.
Well, did you check the fluid level to see if it was okay?
Oh, the fluid is fine. Okay. Yes. Yeah, and I did check it, and I did check it in neutral, and it's fine.
And did you try putting the car in neutral before you backed it up? Did you?
Oh, no, I haven't even started it.
All right.
I mean, I haven't even gone as far as to even move it. I should say I started it, but I haven't gone as far as to move it this week.
All right, then you still, I mean, you have to try that, and then I think you have to try Tom's suggestion of backing the car in so you put it into drive, not in reverse.
Yes.
You know, and then we'll know. Then we'll know more of what's going on. You know.
A little at a time.
little baby bits, right? We don't want to take we don't want to go too far too fast with this, right? I know.
It's true. I have been using a lot more automotive products and parts to work on houses lately. So.
That's what you said last week. Yeah. Which is okay.
It is amazing. It's amazing. You know, it's kind of funny because working on a car, when you start out working on vehicles, It is fantastic how that knowledge can transcend into other avenues and other professionalisms like home repair.
Okay.
Speaking of repair,
let's try phone repair, and we'll go to the phones and the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Excellent. Who are we speaking with?
This is Mike from Baldwin.
Oh, hey Mike, what's happening?
Good. Two questions for you. Lately, I've been seeing Fram oil in the automotive stores, which you just saw their filters. Now, is that something new that they just came out of, or it's just coming around, you know, us now?
I have never seen Fram oil. Have you, Chris?
Yeah, Fram oil.
Sir.
Okay.
Fram oil.
Yeah.
I have been kind of following some filter information recently, but and there was another, I don't remember the brand, but there was another filter company who now was putting a brand of oil out. I don't remember what that is off the top of my head, but right along the line with your saying, Mike, with Fram, it may be.
And it's actually a cheaper, and it's a cheaper price than, you know, the Castrol, the premiums too. So I'm just, I was like, I never saw it, and all of a sudden I see it out there.
What store was selling that, Mike? Where was that being sold?
AutoZone and Advance.
Oh, you know what? Maybe that's where I saw. I get an event. No, it's an AutoZone an email every week.
Yeah,
and I think and I did notice that they package their oil change packages all brand specific. It was all the same name: the oil, the filter, the oil filter, and the air filter were all the same name. So maybe the manufacturers are doing that to try and get people to stick with that brand for all of the.
I was just wondering, how your intakes are on that. The other one is on the, I own pretty much like 2018 and 2017. One's a Volvo, one's a Cherokee. Now, the dealerships say, their maintenance says you have to get the fuel injectors cleaned out by them or, the high pressure. But is throwing the thing, Tecron in it and giving it a nice ride the same thing? Or is it, are they blowing smoke up my butt?
No, that's totally not the same thing. Okay. Tecron or any fuel injector cleaner is good to do on any time that you feel like doing it. I think if you're having
you can't use it too much and too often.
Right. That's correct.
Because Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think if you have – no, you're absolutely right, Chris. You could use it every week, and you wouldn't really do any damage. I think if you're trying to correct a problem or an issue, it may be time to go to the higher level diagnostic.
Right. But if you have no issues with it, you really – you know, it's everything runs fine and everything else. So, you know, no lights, no, you know, senses going off or anything. So I was just wondering if it's just, you know – another thing for them to make money on you.
Well, the only thing, it is a money-making thing. The only thing I could think on their end is if they know through service records that at certain mileages, their engines tend to, the injectors tend to slow down, if you will, or get a little clogged up. That may be right. Why they recommend that, the professional type of a cleaning. So I would look into it more. Like, you know, in general, no, I don't think you have to do it unless you need it.
Right, yeah, unless there's a problem. Yeah, I never had a problem. So
then again, you know how the dealers are. If you don't do it, and then you come back to them in maybe 10, 20,000 miles, and you go, whoa, you never had that injector cleaning done.
Yeah, the warranty's over, so that's,
right.
You know, we're
right.
Not going to, you know, do anything on that, too. Okay, guys, thanks a lot, man.
All
great
right.
Show.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a good one.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Bye. What were you
going
to say,
Chris? Yeah, I was just looking real fast online about Fram Oil, and it seems to have all good – there's all good reviews on it at a casual glance, I should say. I'm not looking
right.
at it fully because we have a show to do. But yeah, it does seem to be quite recommended. But I always think, and Ray, I always talk to you about this. We always have a agreement, disagreement. But I always feel that 3,000 miles, I'm going to use a motor oil that is basically price conscious because it's all going to get dumped out in 3,000 or 4,000 miles anyway. So, but if I was going to keep the oil in for like 10,000 or 15,000 miles, yeah, I would concern myself with something that would be a little bit more quality driven, I guess you could say,
truthfully,
or synthetic.
That's a debate synthetic.
Oh, yeah.
That's a debate that's been going on this show for many, many years.
Yes.
And I've changed my mind on it through the years. I have actually changed my thought process on it and backed up by what I do. So, yeah, I think as long as you're using – my contention has always been, and I started this with the Bronc many years ago, and he said, yes, I went to Harley-Davidson and bought the Harley oil and filter for my bike. And I was like, why? You know, well, because I get the best stuff for my bike. I want to keep – and that's what they want. You want to get their stuff because it's the best.
The best.
And my contention is they're not making the filter, and they certainly aren't making that oil. Somebody right. else is, and they're putting their name on it and upcharging you. So if that's what makes you feel like the best, and I know men, and not just the Bronc, many, many, many people believe that.
Yes, I agree.
I don't. You know, I think that's, you know, again, someone else is making it for them. And it'd be nice to find out who, you know, and then buy that brand and save the money if you really want to be you know, getting the best stuff. But yeah, so that's where I feel on that stuff.
And you are absolutely right. And I feel the same way. I will use whatever's on sale. I'm going to put the correct oil in. It's not like I'm going to use any sort of motor oil. Like the 300 takes the 1030 or a 1040. And I know the other cars take, 2050s. I think that's the new oil of choice for some of the late model vehicles.
No, not 2050. Yeah, no.
Not 2050 or it's 520?
It's 520? It's gone lower. Like there's a 520. There's actually a...
Yeah, I think mine takes a 520. But yeah, I know it.
That's very common.
Like a 030.
Yeah. There's 030, 016 for a lot of the Toyota products, which is kind of hard to find, by the way.
I believe it. I've never even heard of a 016.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
The new RAV4s and stuff take that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Fram oil is sold at Advanced Auto Parts.
Right.
It seems to be an exclusive product for their chain.
You know, the thing to do is pick up a bottle of it, look on the back at the bottom of the label, and it usually tells you where it
made
comes
in Japan.
From. Well, they'll have like the name or an address of the refinery or whatever, and you know there isn't a Fram refinery, but hey,
yeah.
I want to put something out to you and the listeners, if they're listening. Mm-hmm. This popped into my head during the week. Don't ask me why, because that's what happens.
Oh,
you know, the door
I
was
hate
open.
When something pops in your head. You know we have a problem.
Yeah, the door was open in influenza. You know, I was like, but my question to you is this,
yes. And
there may be more options than I've thought of, but I was thinking about windshield washers, you know, the way you wash your windshields with the, you know, with the stalk on your or the button on your dash.
And the sprayer that it's supposed to activate.
That's what I'm talking about, the sprayer.
Ooh.
Which design of washer spray nozzle do you like best? And there's three that came to mind that were very common. And the first one was the one that's found maybe on your Chrysler, certainly on my Pontiac. It's the cowl-mounted, those two brass little shooters that are mounted under the cowl vent.
Yes.
The second type were the ones that were mounted on the wiper arm, with the GMs in the 70s. Well, the current ones where it's a hood-mounted squirter. Which one is your, or do you have a favorite? Or have you ever even thought about that?
I have never delved into this minutia very often. Sometimes I really do like to know what goes on in that little noodle of yours.
Well, there you go. Now you know.
I hear the calliope every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
But just off the top of my flathead, I would say the washer I like of choice, and hold down the laughter, gang, but the washer I like of choice is the washer that is attached to the windshield wiper itself. So when the wiper sweeps, it will lay down a layer of washer fluid and then sweep back to wipe it off. Well, I kind of like that one.
You know what?
Compared to this. Whoa.
The world just fell off its axis, folks.
Yes, because, that was good. Too bad we didn't have a video of that.
Because Chris agrees with me. That's my all-time favorite. The ones I had on my 70s GMs, my Monte Carlo had it, and Impalas. That's my all-time favorite design, bar none. Now, I had asked Matt Coman Bryan on Thursday night, I posed this question to him, and he liked the hood-mounted one, but there was one, my Fiat actually does this. It's like the squirter, but then there's like a little ball at the end that could actually be rotated to direct the spray. So that one, I can move it in and out, and I can move it up or down. And he said the German cars typically had that. So I don't know if you have a preference. Give us a call at 516-572-7440 when you can share your feelings with us.
Do you know that there's an adjustment and you can adjust those little what shooter sprayers that are on the hood that are ball mounted? It literally is about a little bit bigger than like a ballpoint.
Well, the ball pen. You can, yeah. But the ones on the Mazdas that I have are just, it's a little triangular shaped thing and that cannot be adjusted. Those are fixed.
And I can't tell you, there was one time I actually took one of those off with a snow broom.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I ran the snow broom across it and I decapitated it.
Right. And they are, you know, I found out, I think it was my daughter had her Stratus, one of hers broke because they're plastic, you know, and I found out that they were available. I might have been on the help board in the auto parts store.
Uh-huh.
That's how common that is, yeah. So what types of system does your Chrysler 300 have? What does that use?
The 300 has the two little, they're like little barrel tubes that sit right under the cowl.
Okay.
Because the windshield wipers are that 70 style hidden.
Yeah.
Hidden wipers. So they sit under there. The LeBaron has got the sweeper.
Right.
Like we discussed that I like. And the other two, I think, are hood mounted. I know the truck is hood mounted. My Explorer is hood mounted.
Okay.
I think
I'll tell you what. Why don't we go to the phones and see what's going on? We'll see what other people think. Let's go to the phones in the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, gentlemen.
Ah, fresh off his SEMA tour, it's Chassis John from Floridia. What's happening, John?
What's up, brother love?
Oh, not much. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Yeah, we're doing well.
I was just calling to tell you, I actually prefer to grab up one of those squeegee guys from the Bowery in New York City and lash him down to my hood, and then he could just work that squeegee with his spit and keep my windshield looking shiny.
Oh, man. You know, John, I'll tell you something. And I'll see if I remember. I'll send you the picture later. Our good friend Christian from Long Island Racing, we got into this topic years ago. And we had a particularly nasty winter here on Long Island where there was a lot of snow and ice and refreezing. And none of the gas stations had washer fluid because they just put water in there. And I think they pour like a little blue Gatorade in it. You know, they used to put stuff in there, washer fluid. Not anymore. So,
Gatorade.
Well, you go to take the squeegee out and it'd be in a solid block of ice, you know?
Yeah.
So Christian said, screw you guys, I'll make my own squeegee. And he took a squeegee and he mounted a little aluminum tank to it, and he took, I think, two or three fuel injectors from a motorcycle, and he had a little electric, I guess he had a fuel pump on there, but he powered this thing to squirt through fuel injector nozzles, and he says, damn it, I got my, and I said, I want one, but I never did get it.
So wow.
You know, it's nice funny, John, you just showed your age because you said the guy's on the Bowery.
Right.
The Bowery is like now this exclusive area.
Right. Yeah, it is.
It's like this chic area where all these millennials hang out. You won't find a bum on the Bowery at all anymore.
No.
Most millennials are bums in my world anyway.
There
so
you go.
I guess it's fitting.
There you go.
Send your cards and letters to Chassis John.
So, John, while we have you on the line, you want to give us the official SEMA report from your view?
Yeah.
Well, there's two reports to SEMA. There's the politically correct one, which is all happiness and flowers and beautiful high-end chocolate candy, and it was wonderful, and we had such a wonderful time, and I'm so glad that SEMA is back. But the hardcore truth is there were less than half, maybe even a third of what would normally be there. European travel is still restricted, which works fine for me because I just don't need them hanging around, period. Very, very few of the large corporations that normally show up at SEMA, like Jegs and Summit and Holly. Holly is like, you know, the 600-pound elephant. Holly has been snapping up one company after another. They are a huge central conglomerate now. And if they don't show up, none of the other affiliates that they own are there either.
Oh, wow.
So there was a lot of empty space. And what SEMA did is they put out park benches wherever these spaces were in between, you know, things going on.
Right.
So I go there for the performance stuff. I could care less about auto body, audio and electronics really don't do anything for me. The truck stuff. You know, just it doesn't do anything. I don't go to that. I go to the performance hall, which is the largest hall traditionally. And I was able to go through there with Barbara. We walked through that show in about 3 hours.
Okay.
Which, that was it.
History wise, if I'm on a fast pace, I could do that place in 2 days. Normally it's 2.5 plus.
Right.
And we were in and out in a day.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I did get to meet with some good people. You know, one of the good things is not a lot of people took the time to travel there. Everybody's still kind of worried about COVID and, you know, everything else going on. So with less people being there, the representatives had more time to really give you some one-on-one insight about what you were trying to inquire on their product.
That's cool.
Okay.
So that was a good thing, you know. Have to stand there and kind of wait online while six other people were ahead of you, you know, kind of asking questions.
Yeah.
So that worked out well. And I did find some new manufacturers of different pieces and parts that I will certainly incorporate into both of the Firebirds. And, you know, it was just kind of light and airy.
Easy to
walk around. Very, very wide aisles because they knew that a lot of companies weren't coming. So they basically doubled and in some areas tripled the width of the aisle.
Wow.
Wow.
Go back to 2019, the last time they had a show. We were shoulder to shoulder, and it was real difficult to, you know, get down aisles. One of the things that I guess a lot of people just don't understand. I don't know. In America, we drive on the right-hand side of the road.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of falls into walking down an aisle.
Yes.
But, you know, not necessarily. So it was people walking in both directions, you know, and you had to, like, jump back and forth, you know, and you're, like, turning sideways to get past people.
Oh, wow.
That wasn't the case this year.
Right.
So you know, usually, I mean, that show brings in, I don't know the exact numbers of what it traditionally brought in, but I wouldn't doubt that it brings in more than 1 million people.
Wow, yeah.
Wow.
It's the largest show in the world. There is no other trade show, automotive related, that, you know, shows up that they put on every year that pulls in more people.
Right.
So it was good. But, you know, even the hotels and the resorts, they knew what was going on. They know the numbers. They jack up their prices based on, sure, you know, when the show is actually open.
Sure.
So it's right. Supply and demand. You know, we booked real early, and we actually got 4 different discounts from the Venetian as time went by.
Oh, wow.
I guess to make sure that we weren't going to cancel out.
Right.
So I literally paid about half of what I was supposed to pay when I first registered.
Well, that's good. Well, I'll tell you what, we missed you on Thursday night on Plane in Traffic, but we did have Mike Linner on, who was broadcast. He was at SEMA, so he was in his room at Caesars, and he put up about like 3,000 pictures on, Car Shows? I forget his website. I have it at home. Let's see, the Car Shows Nation or Car Shows National, something like that. Anyway, yeah. And it was great. I guess he didn't have to wait to get a good shot because there was nobody there.
But, no, there weren't. And there was quite a few really unbelievably beautiful show cars there.
Yeah.
The Firebird that Terry worked on.
Yes, the green one. Yeah.
My jaw dropped.
Yeah.
The paint is amazing. The fact that they fitted a late model dashboard into a second gen 73 Firebird, and it fit really, really well.
Yeah.
Everything on that car was spectacular.
I was amazed they put it together.
There was a lot of cars. There was a lot of stuff that was there that was really, really nice.
I was truthfully amazed they put that car together and had it there in time, because a week before I was like watching a paint video and they still had to assemble. So, yeah. Those guys thrashed it. Yeah, it was phenomenal.
I walked around that, took a bunch of pictures, and it looked really good. Whether it was running condition or not, I don't know.
Well,
a lot of cars that show up at SEMA don't run.
Yeah, I know. Terry did that video where they got it running and tuned, and then they took it apart. So it had been running and driving before they painted it. So, you know, unless something happened in the interim, I don't know. But
so there was a lot of stuff to see, and probably the biggest controversy was Project X,
right?
57 Chevy that's been around forever.
Yep.
That has been one technological change after another. And for some reason, all of your traditional hot rodders are having a hissy fit over the fact that my good buddy Victor Cagnazzi and his professional racing team were asked by General Motors to put an electric motor in that car like a Tesla style.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Oh, that's yeah. It's now got an electric motor in it. The whole trunk area is a large battery setup. The car is actually about 600 pounds lighter than the way it was when they got it, which I believe it had like a LS or something with a blower motor, with a blower on it.
Yes, yeah, correct.
So they were able to lose about 600 pounds on the car. They had to adopt what's like a the transmission, the drive is like set up for like a Corvette with independent suspension.
Yeah.
So they had to turn that around sideways.
Wow.
And modify it. Because they couldn't put independent suspension in the back of that 57.
Yeah.
So it was a real work of art, technically and mechanically. But traditional hot rod people are really hating on it. They think it's disgusting and that they shouldn't have done it. And you know, with the fact that Chevrolet came out with a 632 cubic inch fuel-injected motor.
Gas engine,
with pro-stock-style heads, At the same time, they could have actually put that in.
I think that's
what they wound up doing is they took that motor and they stuck it in a third gen Camaro.
Yeah,
and that was also on display.
Right,
but yeah, a lot of people are really upset over the fact that they did.
I tell you, we did cover that Thursday night. We talked about it a little bit at length, not as long as I think we wanted to, but yeah, the jury's out, so we'll have to see what goes on, but.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for that update. That's good. And we look forward to seeing you again this week because we missed you.
Okay, great. No problem.
All right. We got the bottom of the hour coming, so we got to talk to Chris here, John. So thanks for calling, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Talk to you guys later.
All right.
Take care, John. Well, that's just like it's like John said, Project X was a hot rod project car for Hot Rod Magazine. That was a yellow 57 Chevy 210 coupe that they used for, it was like a technical
rolling test
mule.
See it in Hollywood Nights.
Yeah, and it was in the Hollywood Nights. It was actually in a movie. Yeah, that's for sure. But I guess they kept that going with proving future technology and using the electric motor in Project X, but I kind of agree with John. I think it would have been better with the bigger Chevy V8. That would have probably been, I think, a better message to send and use the electric in a different car and not sacrificing Project X. But what's nice about Project X is there could be a motor in that car every week. they could just keep swapping motors out.
I'll tell you the other message that has to be sent, and it's XP26, and it's something you want to know about. It's called a show called My Hometown Here. Airs Thursdays at 3:30 p.m. on this fine station, and it explores clubs, organizations, businesses, and issues in towns across Nassau and Suffolk counties. Weekly interviews with local guests serve to shed light on Long Island towns making a difference, which leads us right up to that past the bottom of the hour where we need to know if you have an honor group of the whatever it is we do at the bottom of the hour. The honor group of that bottom of the hour.
I'm going
thing.
To serve to shed light.
All right,
or
please.
Shed to serve light.
Yes.
On the bottom of the hour. And the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour this week. Individuals that pride themselves on knowing how to parallel park. Do you still have that ability to maneuver your vehicle into a parallel parking spot without tapping the curb or the other cars? Do you scoff at those that use late model parking aids like backup cameras and annoying warning beeps? Do you brush aside those parallel parking aids that actually do the job for you just because you know you can do it better? Well, can you still place your hand on the passenger seat and turn to look out the rear window without making a grunting noise or experiencing a sharp pain like some of us can? Well, if you can still parallel park without the worry of busting a taillight, scuffing a wheel rim, curb rash, or chasing bystanders off the sidewalk, then you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this week.
All righty, and that's a good one. I'll parallel park when I get home today, and it'll be fine. So, which some people think that's kind of a smoking gun of automotive technicalities. I know my daughter is one of those included, and so is my wife. So,
same here.
With that, we will do our bottom of the hour spots. We're going to hear Chassis John again, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio in just a couple minutes. So keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC. Let's fire the gun.
Get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y sí, hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth.
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth.
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No. I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are a consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and Auto Vision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motor Mouth Radio, WHBC, 90.3 FM.
Yeah, we're drum beating over here. You know why? I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because we still got a hot smoking gun going on over here. We heard Chassis John twice in that
yes,
stop.
Yes, that is true.
Oh, yes. So
become the third Beatle.
All right, there you go. Absolutely.
Here at Motor Mouth Radio. Motor Mouth Radio trying to go viral since 2007.
All we get is viral infections.
Yeah, you need a shot for that.
I know.
Get you to stop walking funny.
Exactly.
516-572-7440 is the phone number. You know, I have to bring up something. You're talking about minutia, and since the show is full of minutia, it's full of something.
It is.
That we keep stepping in. But there's a commercial, a local radio spot in the area here in the tri-state area, I guess you could say, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. And it is for the Pearl Mutter Cancer Center. Have you heard this?
I believe I have.
Okay. There's the announcer who is talking about some gentleman that got his PSA test.
That's the guy that goes to all the shows and drives his classic car.
But,
yeah.
Right. He goes to the classic car show. He gets his PSA test and he realizes that he has to go to the promo. Well, anyway, they describe his car. Because he's supposed to be a classic car guy. And they describe his car. Whomever wrote this must not have been a car person. Because they describe his car as a 1979 chrome.
Yeah, I know.
Chromed out sports car.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm rifling through my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, 1979 chromed out sports car. I'm like, okay, what car is this?
Did you think of a car?
Huh?
Did you think of a car? Did anything come to mind?
No.
Okay, because I'll tell you, when I first heard that and heard 79, you know, the chrome dot sports car, the first thing I thought of was a 79. I'm like, yeah, this guy's got a 79, like, IROC or a Camaro. And he put some chrome stuff on it, so they're calling it. But I said, no, but it's.
Great.
And then when I thought about it, I said, well, of course, it's not a sports car. Actually, my Fiat would qualify because it is a 1979. It is a
you
sports
know, it probably
car.
Would.
But it's not chromed out. It's grunged out.
You're right.
In my style.
But that is.
You're right.
That has got to be. Those are a year of a make and model of a vehicle that nothing was chromed out. I mean, you couldn't pick a. Maybe 1980 would be the worst year for chromed out anything. There was. And I just laugh every time I hear it. My mind boggles. I go, wait a minute, what 1979 chromed out sports car are we talking about here? And really, you went Camaro. I was going Corvette.
Okay. Close
like,
enough.
That was the closest thing I was going. So I'm thinking of this pathetic 79 Corvette with like chromed out, just a chromed out 350, and just like going, this guy is just.
Well, and the Corvette
not really
would,
looked upon lofty. It's not really got like, such a high esteem
listen,
at the car show.
The Corvette would rightfully be considered a sports car, I guess. It always has been. So that's a better guess than the Camaro. But, you know, that's the thing. It's generalizations. And when people think of a hot rod or a show car or – there, you know, if you ask the average person on the street, you'd get some wild answers and some things that you'd say, what? Obviously, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Hey, go to a car show and you'll see what people bring and you'll know they don't know what the hell they're talking about. We have callers and listeners who do that.
It's the truth. And that's what I actually, it's something that I love and hate about what we do. There are such a varied amount of automotive enthusiasts out there nowadays. It has become so segmented from when we were doing this on a regular basis. When we were kids, you had like the restored guys and the hot rod guys. And really that was kind of it. Maybe up in the hills, you had the sports car guys. Maybe out in the windy roads, you had British guys, whatever it is. But usually where we grew up, you had the restored guys, everyone that wanted to keep their old car stock, and you had the modified guys. And you knew the modified guys. They all wanted to – they all had pony cars or Chevelles or Chargers or whatever have you, jacked up.
It was my crowd.
With the Gabriel Striders in the back, with the cherry bombs. Mm-hmm. It was a whole thing that – it was just one type of vehicle.
Yeah.
That was the hot rod guys. Mm-hmm. And that was really it. Now there's just so many segments. Now you have the rice guys, you have the truck guys, you have the donk guys, those people you love to just grumble at. You have all of these segments of people. But the funny thing is everybody is passionate about what they have and what they like and what they don't like. That it turns into a froth whenever you get these guys all together. And I kind of like it and dislike it at the same time. It's kind of interesting. You got to be on your toes.
Let's see if we like or dislike this. Well, let's go to the phones and the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Oh, I'm on. It's on, baby. Yes. As a Camaro owner, I just took a little bit of a vent stab. You know, somebody just said, Camaro? Oh, yeah, I'm not a chromed out sports car owner because I'm loving this without the chrome.
And for those who don't know, I have to just hang on a second. Let me just we're listening to the same guy who's known for saying this.
Guys, we all know what new spells
never ever work.
That's right.
That's our compatriot, Joe D. What's happening, Joey?
What's up, Uncle Levunge?
How you doing, Swiss? What's
doing
happening?
Well, my brother. Always good to hear your voice.
Yeah, but some people, I could just hear the cringe, the audio cringe. But let's see the Gabriel hijackers. Oh, my God. I was just thinking about that, and cherry bomb mufflers. Oh my! Oh no!
Right.
Let's go open heads.
I think there were Gabriel Striders too, or something like that. I remember those.
Oh yeah, I could just sit there and rotate them. Rick, while I was sitting there with the car jacked up, I could just change the channel on them from stiff to soft. And let's just face it, I would just jump out of the car and change the channel on the shocks. You know, just kind of. Make them just a little bit more amenable.
Yeah, changing the valving. Hey, Joe, out by you where you were, you're part of Queens because you were right between Chris and I. What was the? Were there any big delineations in car guys? What were the like back in the 70s? What were the types of car guys that were out there by you?
There was the Frenulu guys, and there was the guys that went down to like Connecting Highway and
the racers. Yeah.
Just generally. Up in Whitestone Park,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Just a couple blocks away from Billy Velvet,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was just, you know, just where they found the more easily impressed girls.
Right, right. Right.
That was it.
Yeah. I know Astoria was a big hotspot, too. Yeah, very true. Very true.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's a nice hike because that's more exposure to the local law enforcement agencies so that way they can find the who's got open mufflers,
right.
Who's got a hood scoop that's blocking their vision.
Right, right.
Right. That's true.
Let's just
very
see
true.
What's going on with that. Yeah, because it's so fun to have a hot rod because they're looking over your shoulder at this point. And then now we could have a environmentally safe and politically correct electric car. You know, it's better with the technology. Now we could earn engineering degrees, get this stuff sorted out. And we could all just figure out what's going on. I just keep trying to find online classes for that.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just going to have to graduate. So I'm going to have to put a little bit of alphabet soup after my name.
Right.
PhD.
Well, the stuff, you Joe, know. The stuff that you forgot is the stuff that a lot of us haven't learned yet. So that's always been the case. But I'll tell you
that's
something.
For sure, very kind.
Pirate Paul just sent me a picture of a pair of rusty Gabriel hijackers. Check your phone. You'll see them, Joe. I'll send them out to you too, and you can marvel in. I don't know. Now I don't know why he's got these. Should be going to the curb by all means.
Artifacts.
Yeah, they're definitely artifacts. Yeah.
With some jet propelled rabbit.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There goes my text phone.
There you go.
Let's see that. Okay. Except I might get cut off if I change the.
Yeah, check it later. It's just a pair of rusty old shocks. But it's,
yikes!
Yeah, funny that he had those laying around. Yeah, but then again, that's what I do Thursday nights. You know, Brian was the Thursday before. John and Brian, they were talking about Brian had a guy come on his tool truck and asked him what something was. I think someone had given it to him. And he didn't know what it was, and he knew it was some kind of a tool, and Brian held one up, and it was the oil can spout that you would put into an old cardboard oil can,
wow.
Right? So Brian explained to the guy, so I stood up to get an oil can. I have a can of Harley-Davidson oil on my shelf somewhere. I couldn't find it, because I heard Brian say, no, Ray, I beat you to it, because he had a can sitting right next to him.
Let's face it, back then the Cowardly Lion and Dorothy probably used that on... that silver guy.
Oh, on the Tin Man, right. Right. But it just goes to show that, you know, just in one generation, this guy, I think his name is Jose, who was Brian's customer, had no idea what that oil can spout was. And he's younger than us, but, I mean, how much younger does he have to be to not know that?
That's amazing.
10 years?
Well,
20?
Yeah, because back in those days, people were actually, you know, mechanics actually had oil cans and oil rags hanging out of their pocket, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. That those would be the part of the they used to keep the oil cans in a holster, you know, one of them bandoleros, you know.
You know, I said to Brian, I said, you know, what about the glass oil bottles with the nozzle? And, you know, I don't have any of those. But
yeah.
I'll tell you something, on that line, my wife just asked me a question the other day. I was checking her car before she went out. Checking the antifreeze, checking the oil, and I had a rag up there, an oil rag, to check the oil. And she goes, you keep this here? I'm like, yeah, I have one under the hood of every car.
Under the hood, sure.
Yeah, and I usually shove it in by the washer bottle or something. I said, the reason is this way I don't have to walk and get one, and I have to use my shirt to check the oil. I always have an oil rag handy.
Yeah, well, it's a convenient thing, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I usually keep one in between the seat and the rocker panel on my car with one of those rags, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Because the wife usually goes, what's this?
Yeah.
What's this ugly red thing, you know, because I just kind of appropriated it from the shop, you know?
Right, right.
You got those shop rags?
Yes.
Because I just keep it jammed in there. Let's face it. That's the only time that you're going to keep that because my luck, I keep that under the hood, it gets sucked into the air cleaner and just destroys the mass air sensor.
Well, that's why what I do is I fold it up into like a nice little square and I shove it down, usually between the strut and something, like someplace where it, and I tell you something, I shouldn't even be talking about this. What am I doing? But in all the years, and I've been doing this for probably 30 years, I have never lost one, which you know what that means now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but
Every one of them is as good as gone.
Before intake valve.
Oil, yeah, oil rag impregnated valves are coming my way. But luckily now on the modern cars, the intake system is sealed off where it's a little harder to get into an intake system. On the older cars, yeah, you have open air cleaners and it's possible. But yeah, we'll see. I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted. Well, thanks for that info, Joe. We really appreciate that.
Not a problem. It's good to hear from you guys.
It's good to hear from you, as always. You know that.
Thank you.
It is good to hear your voice, my brother.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great one, guys.
All right, Joe. Thanks.
Take care.
Be safe.
All right. Bye-bye. As Joe D. As people always ask about Joe, and there he is. He's still doing well. He's alive and fine, doing good, thank God. So that's
for sure. It is always good to hear Uncle Lavunge on the air again.
Without a doubt.
We still have time, right? 516-572-7440 is the phone number. If you have a set of Gabriel Striders sitting around.
Well, the Striders are different. Yeah, those, I think, were the gas shocks, the Striders.
They were.
Yeah, the hijackers were obviously the air shocks. We got a guy that's going to come on. I don't know if I mentioned this last week. He was on, he's on Instagram, and I happened, you know, he liked some stuff that I posted, and I liked stuff that he posted. He's building a gremlin. And I think his site is the gremlin shaped thing or the gremlin looking thing or something like that. It's, or something like that. And, anyway, he's, we had him on the show. He wrote a book. We had him on the show a long time ago. He wrote a book about Buick G-Body performance. So we're going to have him back on soon. Let me we're also going to go to the phones. So let's do this first. Let's push this button and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, what's up, guys? I figured I'd take that challenge and get in for the last couple seconds of the day here today.
Okay, Skip. What do you got?
I can definitely subscribe to what went on today because in my 66 Corvette right now, I have Gabriel hijacker shocks.
Okay.
In my 57 Nomad, my white Nomad, I have cherry bomb mufflers. I also have those oil spouts for the cans, and I do have the oil bottles that were used with the, look like the milk crate.
Yep.
So you check off all the boxes in our nostalgia segment.
It just shows my age, I'm afraid, but there it is.
Well, I think it's more than that. I guess it shows is that you definitely tuned into the stuff that we're talking about because obviously you're hitting on all cylinders. So that's funny.
Well, generally, other than the newer stuff, I tend to gravitate to a lot of the conversations. But definitely anything that's related, you know, of course, as you know, with the 60s and 70s and so forth, any of the memorabilia and the stuff, you know, I can have vivid memories of more so than what I had for breakfast this morning, you know.
So let me ask you this. What was your take on how do you weigh in on the washer sprayer debate?
You know, it's a funny question because I was never lucky enough to have washers that worked in any of my cars.
Well, no, I mean, back in the day, none of us did. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it was the type of thing that, you know, it was something that was there, but it never worked or, you know, it needed a washer pump and what the hell, you know, wait for a rainy day or get the hose out. But generally speaking, you know, it was the old just let the wipers fly and see what happens, you know.
Okay.
Nowadays, I have both, and in my late model Chrysler, the 2006, it's got them on the hood, and believe it or not, I've had to replace them because both of them, one time or another, has failed, and that car's only got like 38,000 miles on it.
Well, that's like I said, you know, it was Lauren Stratus, which was a Chrysler product. It was a Dodge. It was a Mitsubishi powertrain, but it was a Dodge body, and one of hers failed too, so maybe it's something that whoever they spec'd them out from, they had a bad supplier. Because I've never changed them on a Japanese car. Never had to do that.
So. Well, I don't think there's another car that I've ever changed them on, to be honest with you. I could not think of one that I ever have.
Right. Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Well, I have working sprayers in the Corvette and the Nomad and the, I'm sorry, not the Nomad, and the Chrysler.
Yeah, to round this out, yeah, I don't have working washers right now on my Pontiac because that's the pump. The cam works off of the washer pump when you activate that. And what I decided to do is I mounted an electric washer motor into my washer bottle.
Oh,
okay.
And I'm going to put a button, a momentary button, in the car, and I I really haven't decided where to put the button. So I haven't wired it up. Otherwise, I'm just going to wire, you know, put a 12-volt signal to it, and bang, there you go. So that's something to be done for another day, because, you know.
Put it on the shifter, and you'll really confuse people.
I was thinking of that. I was actually going to put
something. Nitrous or something, yeah.
Well, I tell you, I don't have nitrous, but I have a line lock, and I saw a couple of guys who've had that. They have two buttons on the shifter, and one could be for, you know, line lock. The other could be for nitrous. So I was I was thinking about that.
That's a possibility. Something to
think about. Something to think about. Right. It's in the soup that goes through my head. So anyway.
I am well aware of that, too. I don't know if it's a genetic problem or whatever, but
it's a car guy thing.
I constantly have that thing I can't turn it off. You know, it's just always flowing.
You know what? The day that turns off, you got other things to worry about.
Well,
that's for sure.
I'll probably turn it off for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Right. That's hard stop.
No, I feel you. I feel you.
Got it. Got it. 100%. All right, Skip. Well, thanks for that insight. That's good. We'll have Chris make
it.
All right, Chris. Skip. Thanks. All right.
Thanks, Skip.
That's a good honor.
The motor mouth minutia.
That'd be a good honor group of the hour.
Yes, exactly. It's funny because I had a problem with the washer pump in the Explorer. There was the rubber line that ran to a small little plastic. It looked like a cylinder with two hose tips at the end of it. And the cylinder literally split in half. And I don't know what that cylinder was really there for, because all I did was put another small little hose cylinder and grafted it to the two pieces of hose, and it's just fine. I never knew what those were. There's a couple of them throughout the line on the
Could be like a filter, maybe, no?
Yeah, it could be like a filter.
To catch particulate?
The only thing I could figure, but it broke.
Right.
So, and I haven't went and ordered another one because I don't even know what the silly thing is.
Yeah.
So I just put one of those hose plastic, small little, look like a straw in there, and just put it together, and it's fine.
Okay.
It works just fine. So I make it particulates in my washer sprayer. Oh my God.
All right. Well, our particulates say we got to clean the clock and get out of here and let Kim come in and do Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen. Listen to her. I know you do. And Chris, we'll be back next week. So what do you say that Chassie John says now that you say that we fight about this on every show? Both nights.
Don't follow us home and make sure your windshield's clean.
Exactly. And we'll talk to you more next week on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. Keep what you got up on the road. Chris, we'll see you next week.
All right. See you. Bye.
Adios. Bye-bye.